all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 1. That's reading from Luke 24, verses 36 through 53. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, the word of God says this: the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible truths, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Let's read Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Let's have another word of prayer. Our Father, we do again come to you praising thy holy name, knowing that all that we have for our salvation is in what Jesus has done, the work that Jesus did. Lord, help us today to hear some more from the word of God that can help us to know who Jesus is, that can help us to know the Lord God Almighty, that can help us to be his people. Lord, I praise thy name today that salvation is for everyone. Lord, if there are any here today that's lost, that does not know thee, Savior, help today to be their day of salvation. Lord, help us that are saved to get closer to you today so we can serve you more with our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Dr. Luke, in the book of Luke, the last chapter, and in the first chapter of the book of Acts, wrote much, more than anybody else did, about the ascension of Christ into heaven. This message I have today, I put a title on it, The Ascension of Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. The ascension of Jesus is a work that Jesus had to do just as much as it was hanging on the cross, just as much as it was going into the tomb, just as much as it was resurrecting from the dead. The ascension of Jesus is a work that Jesus had to do. But as I said earlier, can you imagine what happened to these apostles when they went back to Jerusalem after Jesus? The Bible says, what did those verses say? It says, and when he had spoken in verse 9 of chapter 1 of Acts, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And did you see what the Bible says here? And a cloud received him out of their sight. It didn't say the clouds. It said a cloud received him out of their sight. And the Bible says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. You know, you think about it a lot. You think, well, the angels are saying something down from heaven. No, this says two men stood by them in white apparel. I'm going to tell you something. Think of the amazing thoughts and amazing things that these apostles had while this was going on. First, they're seeing Jesus being taken up. And while he's being taken up, he's blessing them, the Bible tells us. And not only is he blessing them, but he's going in a cloud into heaven. And they see him no more. I spoke a message before about, I thought these men were standing there and they kept gazing up because they were looking for him to come back. They said, surely he's coming right back. He's not going to be gone long. But think about it. These men had been with Jesus for about 3.5 years. They had seen him perform many miracles. They had seen him turn water into wine. They had seen him heal the lame, the blind, the deaf. They also had seen him raise the dead. Then, Jesus was taken prisoner. Oh, the marks that they put upon Jesus, the scourging that they gave Jesus, plucked out his beard. The Bible says his visits wasn't even such as a man, doesn't it? The things that Jesus went through for you and I. Then he hung on the cross. He died. They knew that he died. He got put into a tomb. Then on the third day, when the ladies went to the tomb and didn't see him, they come back to the disciples and the apostles. They started saying, hey, Jesus isn't in the tomb anymore. He's risen. Oh, come on now. We saw him hang on the cross. We saw him die. We saw him buried. But they went running to the tomb to see for themselves. Sure enough, he wasn't there. And here's Jesus again, about to leave them. The ascension that's going on. But can you imagine what all is going through these men's minds and their lives? You and I have the scriptures. We can look back at this. We can't understand what all was going through them. But boy, there was a lot going through them. There was a lot that was happening to them at this moment. But they're standing there gazing up into heaven. And all of a sudden, two men in white apparel are standing by them saying, why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, as you've seen him go, he's going to come back in the same fashion. Wow. Wow. The ascension of Jesus. Let me ask you something. What kind of a person would we be in that day? How would we want to be? What do you think you would do? Would you be one that was like Thomas, maybe saying, I'm not going to trust it till I see the scars in his hands and his feet? Or would you be like Mary? Look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Would you be like Mary here? John chapter 20, beginning with verse 11, it says, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. When the Bible says here in verse 17, where Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, I've often wondered, why did he say, touch me not? Because there's other times he looks at Thomas and says, touch him. You see the scars of my hands? Come over here and touch him. But you know what he's saying to her? Do not cling to me. Mary is over there clinging to him, saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to be here with me. And I can imagine, I can just see how Mary's so thrilled and so happy because Jesus is alive that she says, I won't let you go anymore. And she's clinging unto him, but he says, Mary, don't cling to me, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. I've got other works. I've got other things that I need to do. I can't just stay here with you, Mary. That's what he's saying. That's what's going on there. How would we be? I'm sure the apostles felt the same way. Jesus, you left us once. Don't leave us again. But here's Jesus going away in a cloud. And he's blessing them as he goes. But all of a sudden, there's two men in white apparel standing by him saying, what are you doing standing here gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, as you've seen him go, he's going to come back. He's going to come back. How would you and I be? How would we be? The apostles here, look what they did in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. We might be like the apostles all of a sudden. We look over at Jesus and say, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? We might would be like these apostles here saying, okay, Lord, you've already been crucified on the cross. You've already been put in the tomb. You've already resurrected from the dead. And you've been living here now 40 days with us. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's just a normal, natural question that they can ask. Lord, you've been through everything now. What do you think? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus tells them what? Hey, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's all in the hand of the Lord God Almighty. He's the one that's going to make that decision. He's the one that knows when it's going to happen. We're just to trust in him. I want to mention a couple of things, then I want to get into some things about the ascension of Jesus. First, I want you to think about Jesus' ministry here in these verses that I read in Acts. Jesus, here it says in the book of Acts that Jesus is to do and to teach. He's to command. He's to show himself alive, and he's to speak of the kingdom of God. Jesus' ministry was to do what? To do the will of his Father. In John 4:34, he says, I've come here to do the will of my Father. I've come here to do the will of God. The disciples there in John chapter 4 were wanting him to eat. Said, it's time for you to eat. Lord, you hadn't eaten today. He says, I have meat that you know not of. And that meat is doing the will of God, my Father. I'm going to do his will no matter what. That's what Jesus is saying there. You and I need to have a ministry like that. We want to do the will of God. Jesus was teaching, the Bible tells us here. He's teaching all the time. Jesus was always teaching. When he stopped the woman at the well, he's looking at her, telling her that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's always teaching no matter where he was at, no matter what was going on, no matter what was happening in his life. Jesus is always teaching. But here also in verse 2, it says, until the day which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments. Jesus is commanding too. Isn't he commanding of me and you? He was giving commandments unto the apostles. Look over at verse 4 again. It says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Let me ask you something. What do you think would have happened if the apostles didn't trust Jesus and go back to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit? God could have done it another way, but this is the way God designed it to happen. This is the way God wanted it to be. God knew those apostles were going to go back there and wait for the Holy Spirit of God to be put upon them. And they did. When the Lord God gives us commands, and when I say commands, he speaks to our hearts sometimes in a quiet, still voice and says, go witness that person. He speaks to us, says, help that person over there. Do something for your family. Do something for your friend. What do we do? Wow. Sometimes I don't follow the command of God. Sometimes I'd rather do my own will than his. But these apostles were following him. But verse 3 says that Jesus was showing himself alive. I'm glad that Jesus was alive. I'm glad that Jesus came to this earth. I couldn't do for me what Jesus did for me and for you, because he had to come here as a sacrifice and live upon this earth and do the will of God the Father. And he did that. But also in verse 3, and here's one of the reasons why I think when these guys were asking the question, are you going to restore again to the kingdom to Israel? It says here in the last part of verse 3 that he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. When Jesus was speaking, when Jesus was teaching, when Jesus was doing, it was all about the kingdom of God. What do we do today? Do we speak the kingdom of God to people? Boy, there's people on this earth, there's people in this world today that need to know about the kingdom of God, don't they? And you and I need to do that. But let me ask you this question. Think about this for a minute. How were the apostles, when Jesus was first in the garden and he was praying, what did the apostles do? Do you remember? They fell asleep. What happened to the apostles when they took Jesus away? Boy, they scattered. And the Bible tells us that even Peter denied him three times, didn't he? Where were the apostles when he was crucified? I remember there's one name mentioned that was there at the cross with Jesus' mother. Do you remember who that was? It was John. But he don't say anything about the others. I don't know where they were. They might have been a distance afar off, but they weren't there. They had some indifference about things going on. But do you see the different reaction to the apostles at the ascension? Look back at the book of Luke again for a moment. It says, here's what they did in verse 52, or verse 50 through 53, read that. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hand and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Also in the book of Acts, chapter 1, I didn't read these verses a while ago, but in verses 12 through 14 it says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And verse 14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. Why was their attitude different now? Why was it different now? Why were they watching Jesus ascending into heaven, watching Jesus blessing them? Two men standing by them in white apparel. And when they go back to Jerusalem, it says they went back with great joy. I'm going to tell you something. When you hear of news, you might not believe it. You might not think it's true. But when you're standing there watching the event happen in front of you, sometimes it can cause us to have great joy. And I guarantee you, these apostles had great joy in watching Jesus as he's taken away, the Bible says, in a cloud into heaven. He's taken away. And I know, because it's this way in the Word of God, that this is what God designed it to be like. No, the apostles weren't there at the tomb when Jesus arose, were they? But they did see him alive. But now, boy, there could be great doubt and great fear if they hadn't seen Jesus ascend into heaven, couldn't it? They could be sitting back saying, what happened to Jesus? Where did Jesus go? But when they left there, the Bible says they had great joy because they saw Jesus go back to God the Father in heaven. He went back to where he came from. The ascension of Jesus happened in this fashion and this wise, and it was different because there's a verse here that I read that said, in verse 45 of verse of Luke chapter 24, it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And I believe in Acts chapter 1 also, when he told them, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And then it says, and while he spoke these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. When you're watching Jesus and he's speaking to you and he's giving you a blessing and he's telling you that you're going to receive power and you're going to be able to do mighty works for me, but you got to wait at Jerusalem till the Holy Ghost comes there. They leave there with great joy because he says, look, we saw Jesus crucified. We saw Jesus buried. We know of Jesus' resurrection. Now we know of his ascension into heaven back to God. It's always best when you see something happening, when you know it's true. Sometimes you may doubt it, but these men went back to Jerusalem, and I guarantee you, just out of the joy on their faces, just out of the joy of their lives, they're going back to Jerusalem. They're saying, hey, Jesus is ascended back into heaven with God. And I guarantee you, there were some there that were saying, this is fake news. Here's these guys again telling us something else about Jesus when he's gone. He's not here anymore. But again, I say, if it's in the Word of God, it is true. It is true. They're different also because I'll show you this. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 16 through 20. The Bible says this. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples, the men here. He says, a little while, John 16, 16, a little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Verse 19 says, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Wow. Can you imagine the apostles now recalling this scripture that Jesus gave them here from John 16 that says, little while you're going to see me, and a little while I'll be gone, and a little while I'll be back again. And then they think back, wait a minute. He was gone for 3 days and he came back. But now he's going to be gone again. But look, he went and sent it into heaven to be with God. He's coming back again. The men tell us, the two men in white apparel say he's going to come back just as you've seen him go. Wouldn't you have joy? Wouldn't you have joy? You and I can look back at these things and we can put these things together and we can see them. But these men were living it. It was their day of living for Jesus. That's why they were different from before. That's why they were different than earlier when they scattered and they didn't know what to do and how to act. They'd been with Jesus for about 3.5 years, and they said, we don't know what to do now. He's been our leader. But now Jesus is showing them exactly what they need to do. Trust in me. I'm going up into heaven to be with God my Father. Keep your faith. Keep your trust in me. And they're doing just that. I want to give you a few pointers about the ascension of Jesus, why it was needed, why it was necessary. John chapter 17, look at verses 1 through 5. First thing I'm going to talk about, or first thing that I want to mention, and I'm going to do this hurriedly, it's not going to be long. But we have the glorification of Christ. I believe when the Bible says that he was received into a cloud, he was being glorified and going back to God the Father. His glory was coming back to him. That's why he was hidden in the cloud. That's why he was put that way. The eyes of the apostles couldn't keep looking on him. Jesus was going to be glorified. The Bible says in John 17, verses 1 through 5, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The glorification of Jesus is one of the reasons that the ascension had to happen. He had to receive his glory back and be as God in his glorification. In his glorification. Something else that I want to think about for a little bit. The coronation of a king. The coronation of a king. The only other gospel that mentions the ascension of Jesus here is the book of Mark. The last chapter of the book of Mark, chapter 16. I want you to look at a verse there. We might read two verses, but there's one verse specifically that's talking about this that I'm thinking about, the coronation of a king. If I can get my pages to turn. Mark 16, verse 19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the world with signs following. Amen. So verse 19 says, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. There's a lot of verses that I can read, and I'm not going to read all of them. But Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 13. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Even 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. All these verses talk about Jesus being on the right hand of God. The right hand of God. Now, let me ask you something. Do we know that Jesus sat on the right hand of God? Well, these apostles didn't see him do that because the cloud covered him as he went on up into heaven. But I think we have something that does tell us that specifically. Look at Acts chapter 7. I think you'll know what I'm talking about. But Acts chapter 7, the first deacon that was being stoned and killed was Stephen, wasn't he? Acts chapter 7, beginning with verse 54, the Word of God says this: when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, talking about the message that Stephen gave. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their stones at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I believe Stephen was being stoned to death. And the Lord opened up a little bit of heaven and showed that Jesus was standing on the right hand of God. And he says, "I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God." The apostles got this from that. That's where they knew that Jesus was going to be crowned king because he was on the right hand of God. The right hand of God. You and I know that Jesus is already king. He is going to rule and reign one of these days. Boy, that scriptures that pastor's going through on Wednesday night in the book of Revelation is going to get there pretty soon. But he is. The Lord Jesus is going to rule and reign. The coronation of a king. Another reason that the ascension of Jesus needed to happen, it was the gift of the Comforter. The gift of the Comforter. Go to John chapter 16 again. John chapter 16. Begin with verse 1. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you durst ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." Verse 7 of John 16 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for me that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Aren't you glad that Jesus ascended into heaven and that today we have the Holy Spirit of God abiding within inside of us, helping us to understand more about him, helping us to know more about him each and every day. If we just trust in the Holy Spirit of God, when he speaks to us, we'll learn more about Jesus and about God the Father every day. The ascension of Jesus had to happen because the Comforter was to come. Last thing that I'll mention. When Jesus ascended into heaven, the ministry of the high priest started. Wow. Aren't you glad we have a high priest in heaven? Aren't you glad that the Bible says when you sin, you come to me and ask forgiveness of sins, I will forgive you of those sins. Aren't you glad that today we don't have to go out here and kill an animal and take it to another man, or take it to another man to kill the animal for us, but that the work is completed in the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we need to do is trust in him and believe in him and be his servant and serve him each and every day of our life. Hebrews chapter 9. We'll see a little bit of the work here of the high priest. And I'm just going to mention this one scripture and we're going to close in just a moment. I had many other things that I could have said and I could have mentioned, and there's a lot more that can be said than what I have here. But Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, it says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of the things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they were all called, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Wow. Jesus ascended into heaven bodily, physically. The apostles, the disciples were standing there watching him go up. And he's blessing them as he's going. And two men standing by them in white apparel and look at them and say, "Why are you standing here gazing? What are they saying?" Don't just keep looking up at the clouds all the time. We know Jesus is coming, but go do the work that needs to be done. And he will come. He will come. I'm glad. I'm glad that Jesus tells us he's coming back. He's coming back. Patsy, would you come to the piano? And I have one more scripture that I want to read while she's coming. One other place that I think about when I think about Jesus coming back, and I think of this often, but John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 says, "Let not their heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Aren't you glad that we can trust in Jesus? The work that he did, he died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. He resurrected from the dead, but it didn't stop there. He ascended into heaven, and it hadn't stopped today, has it? I could read some more scriptures, and I have them down here, but we're going to stop right here. But Jesus is with each one of us day by day, moment by moment, through the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, we need to keep our faith and trust in Jesus. Please stand as she plays on the piano. If you need to come to the altar, please come to the altar. If you need to pray there in your seat, please do that. Keep trusting God, church. Do what God wants us to do.